Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. My name is Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back for this Thursday episode. We are in the middle of a dream, John.
We are. Yeah, we're...
A vision, would you say? I guess it's a prerequisite for a dream to be asleep, I guess is technically a vision. A waking dream.
Sure.
Yeah.
We could call it many things. You know what it is for sure, though.
Minute 108 through 109.
Well, that. And we're also hanging out with DJ Jameis.
DJ Jameis. Dream Jameis is back for good. Or not, well, not for good. He's like on screen proper.
Yes.
We had...
Well, he was on screen proper before.
Oh, we get
because there was the shitty sandwalk that we talked about on yesterday's episode.
Yeah, I'm talking, we get face.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we get like, we get some Babs action. Like,
we get Babs staring down the fucking barrel of the camera in this minute. So, yeah.
But he's continuing his, I guess, advice to Paul.
Sure.
Paul had previously asked, talk to me, Jameis, which, sorry, talk to me, Jameis.
Gross.
Which is a pretty vague request. Jameis could have come out spouting any bullshit that he wanted to. It would have
been really funny if he started just like going off on some conspiracy theory tangent.
Sure, yeah.
He's, about like clouds or whatever.
He's an Arakeen truther or something. Well, the real it had came from the inside. It was the doctor who, it was a conspiracy. He brought the shields down. And everyone's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Jameis has a podcast.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what else are you going to do when you're dead?
Couldn't be me.
Nope. So God, how embarrassing to have a podcast. Yikes.
Yeah. No, pretty lame folks who do that.
That's not true. David and Alicia are great people.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm talking about us, John.
Oh, yeah, no, we're fucking stupid as hell.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about other people who do it well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about us.
That's fair.
So, the advice that Jameis does give started yesterday, and continues today. The first words that we got, a good hunter always climbs, from yesterday. And he finishes the highest dune before his hunt. So in total, it is a good hunter always climbs the highest dune before his hunt. He needs to see as far as he can see. You need to see is the full phrase there. So as we hear this, Paul and Dream Jameis are crouching on top of a dune, looking out into the vast desert. And we get some lens flare that is worthy of a J.J. Abrams movie.
Honestly... It could have been, you know, guest directed by J.J. Abrams. Right. Like that's how like is very Star Trek 2007 amount of
2009.
Lens. No, sorry, 2009 amount of lens.
Get it fucking right.
Sorry, I'm not a fucking Star Trek nerd like someone.
And then, you know, as the lenses are flaring, this is where we get the close up of Babs's face. So this is real nice to see him. And, you know, speaking of Star Trek, Strange New Worlds is happening right now. The third season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
That's the Star Trek show that he's in, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
So I got a double dose of Babs this week.
Hey.
Yeah. He's, of course, playing Dr. M'Banga on Strange New Worlds, and he is so fucking good. They had a holodeck episode released last week, and it was... A good old romp, as all holodeck episodes are. Anything to say on that?
Nope.
Okay. Neat.
I got nothing for you.
All right. Fine. Back to Dune. We don't stick with Babs for too much longer, though.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. We get Lady Jessica back. And specifically,
well, we get her voice.
Yes, we get her voice. And I'm specifically saying Lady Jessica because that's what the subtitles called it. They did not say Reverend Mother Jessica or anything. It's just Lady Jessica. So I guess she lost her title in the dream. I guess, oh, no, she probably retains Lady.
Sure. And at this point when, so her dialogue real quick,
yeah,
was basically a complete copy paste from what we had earlier in the movie after yeah. she woke up from her spice coma, which was, you must drink the water of life, your mind, it's going to open and you will see. So at this point she is Reverend Mother Jessica. So I don't know why the subtitles say Lady Jessica. I'm going to chalk that up to whoever wrote the subtitle file maybe fucked up.
Maybe so.
Or they're just saying Lady Jessica because
that is technically lack of name.
Confusion across titles and everything for the broader audience as a whole.
Right. Yes, she says you must drink the water of life. And we get the really cool flyover shot of... Did this temple have a name?
It's the Maker Temple.
The Maker Temple. Okay, I called it the Water of Life Temple, but it's same difference, I guess. Mm. That's where they make the water of life.
Sure.
That's where they get the water of life, I should say. Yeah. But it's the same temple that we saw her and her seed pod get dropped off at.
The Palanquin?
Yeah, earlier in the movie. Really cool design. I really like the design of this temple.
Yeah.
And she continues, your mind... It's going to open and you will see. And that is verbatim. She says, it's gonna open.
Yeah. We talked about this. We talked about this when we talked about this dialogue earlier. So just to quickly recap, this is one of those moments where it's like, the dialogue's weird.
It's
lazy.
It's lazy. Your mind, it will open. You will see. That is better. That's a better read on that line. I didn't go back and check the script to see what was actually written versus what was said. I am hoping this was just a in the moment actor choice kind of thing. And sure. The actual script was a little more adult than that.
I don't know.
Whatever. We're picking nits, but
we harped on this earlier. Yeah. So.
No need to re-harp.
We had a long enough episode for yesterday to sure. cover.
So, your mind, it's going to open and you will see. We get one more shot of the vibrating, shifting sands. And then we fade back to Paul, who honestly looks like he's about to cry right here.
I see some tears that have already left his eyes.
And okay.
Like,
so
he's got that like under the nose, like wetness and stuff from crying too. So
sure. So he does not want to do this, but he knows he has to.
Yeah. Chani makes her way over to Paul and kneels down next to him. And she's got a degree of sadness on her face too. Cause mm-hmm. she can tell like this is clearly fucking him up.
Yeah.
And the first thing she says to him is, the world has made choices for us.
Yep.
Which, if that isn't like the most extravagant way of saying, look, you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean.
And for the first time, we get another fear that Paul has. If I go south, I might lose you.
That's kind of been burbling under the surface. It's never been explicitly said.
Sure. His explicit fears have always been the fear of becoming the Lizan al-Ghaib, the Mahdi, the Messiah. Like,
yeah.
He wants to avoid this religious fervor, but this is the first time he's explicitly said to her, like, our relationship might be fucked.
Mm-hmm.
To which she responds, you will never lose me, Paul Atreides.
Chekhov's statement has been...
Chekhov's statement for fucking sure.
Has been placed on the table.
Holy shit. Let's see if they use it. Pinocchio knows like a motherfucker.
And she puts his hand on Paul's cheek. Or she puts her hand on Paul's cheek.
She takes his own hand and puts it on his face and yeah. says, comfort yourself, motherfucker.
Stop hitting yourself. I felt that was really out of... out of tone for just the movie.
Really out of nowhere for the whole movie.
Yeah. And it's just that. That's the only time she's ever bullied him like that. It felt like such a strong and like emotional moment for her to do that. But
kick him while he's down, right?
Yeah, I guess. No. She puts her hand on his cheek, and that is where our minute ends.
Yep.
I don't have any book notes because none of this really happens. So, yeah.
Heart and Soul says nothing about this sequence, so.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing is, like, we get the scene with Paul and Gurney and Jessica. We get the...
Paul and Gurney and Jessica.
Yeah, the one that was cut out, Gurney and Jessica meeting.
Oh, you're talking about stuff.
Sorry, in the book. I'm sorry.
When the...
No.
What part of the movie are you talking about?
No, in the books. Sure. So we get that. We get the Stilgar, Paul. Paul's the boss sequence.
Sure.
And then we get basically a flash forward to after Paul's ordeal. So there's a good chunk that's like another mini time skip in the book that happens here. So the whole like decisions to go south is mainly just a, I must go south. And then they're there.
I got to go south.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we're south.
They do the Scooby-Doo exit. Pretty much.
I know. Let's do the mega happy ending.
All right. Well, let's get back tomorrow and round out this week. What do you say?
Alrighty. As always, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll be back tomorrow for a Friday episode to end your week.
All right. See you then.